Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Want you to know that the mothership has...
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go.
Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4 hour zero gravity gala. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Missouri to Michigan, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. How we doing, everybody? Glad you're back with us on a Monday morning. And boy, do we have a lot to get to this morning on this show. So much football to break down. We'll have Jeff Schwartz, NFL network analyst, NFL analyst in his own right, former veteran offensive lineman, always a good interview, always a good opinion. Jeff Schwartz is going to join us coming up here, hour number three. It's also a momentous Monday, so following Jeff, I'll give you the inspirational story of the weekend in sports. And not sure if you caught it, but yesterday morning on ESPN's NFL pregame show, they had a six-minute piece on our friend Little Mo. 6 minutes on national network TV on ESPN. They did a phenomenal job capturing the spirit of Little Mo in all of his cutouts surrounding M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore with the Ravens and everything that he meant to that city of Baltimore. So that was really awesome. I tweeted that out if you missed it. The entire segment is on Twitter. I tweeted that out. So if you want to check that out, you could go to my Twitter handle, DA on CBS, for that link. I tweeted that out early yesterday morning. So just follow my timeline back into early yesterday morning to check that out. I can't tell you that you're going to have dry eyes. I lost it a few times while watching it, but man, it was awesome to see Little Mo on ESPN in all of his glory for that segment. That was so cool. So we'll honor him again with Momentous Monday coming up at hour number three. Around the NFL this morning, the Cowboys? No, seriously. The Cowboys? We'll do that coming up here in about 40 minutes. Joe Burrow's scary injury next hour. The Colts survive over the Packers. Big comeback by Indy. Tennessee and Baltimore, the Ravens doomed themselves again. Big win by the Titans in overtime. Also, the Chiefs and Raiders late last night. If you went to bed, Patrick Mahomes authoring yet another fourth quarter comeback ahead of the Chiefs' win in the waning seconds. And in Michigan, there are no winners, only losers. My goodness, Jim Harbaugh. My goodness, Matt Patricia. Who's worse? It's all coming up this morning here on the DA Show. So if you want to jump in on any of those topics or anything else football related, hit us up. 855-212-4CBS on the phones. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. We begin with one of the biggest questions entering this NFL Week 11, which was, what will the Saints look like without Drew Brees? And if it's Taysom Hill, what will he look like as a starting quarterback? He finally got the nod after all of these years with the Saints and multiple Drew Brees injuries. Sean Payton finally had the faith, finally had the trust in Taysom Hill to start him yesterday against the Falcons. Now, Sean Payton admitted it was a really difficult decision and that he went back and forth on it all week long. And there were reports yesterday that some Saints players were not happy that he decided to go with Taysom Hill over Jameis Winston. But Taysom ran for two touchdowns and led the Saints to a victory. And at the end of the day, it was certainly clear that Taysom Hill provided something that Jameis Winston could not. A lot of athleticism and speed while carrying the football and leading to some big chunk yards and or touchdowns on the ground. Drew Brees is out for at least another week. I would assume it's going to be much longer than that with multiple cracked ribs. We saw that could be up to 8 to 10 cracked ribs in the collapsed lung from last week. Can Taysom Hill keep the Saints dominant and grab a one seed in the NFC? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Hill fakes the handoff, looking to throw. Running out to his left, looking downfield. He's going to tuck it and run at the 10, the 5. Touchdown, Taysom Hill! And there you see it. Deuce, you get down in the red zone, and boy, he is a weapon.
First start ever in the NFL. You know, I think he called one formation, flipped around the wrong way. There was one motion, and then, yeah, all of that kind of calmed down, and he got very comfortable with the flow of the game and did a good job. We did a good job up front, I thought, blocking him.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Zach Strieff, the voice of the Saints on Saints Radio, Sean Payton after the game. Okay, so here's the bit. The latest report is that Drew Brees has 11 cracked ribs. I mean, how many ribs do we have anyway? 11? So that's like one that's not cracked in his entire rib cage? That's a lot of cracked ribs. So I think that those optimistic projections that Brees is only going to be out for 2 weeks are ludicrous. I think that he's going to be out for longer than that. Which means yesterday was a really important first step for this Saints team in trying to make sure it locks down that number one seed. And the fact that they got a win while the Packers got a loss is a big deal. I thought that early in this game, Taysom Hill proved that this offense was a far cry with him under center. And something that we had wondered, I know I had wondered for years, why does Sean Payton keep talking about Taysom Hill as a backup quarterback if he never throws any passes? And so the early part of this game was pretty obvious. Taysom was really struggling, and the Falcons' defense was holding him down. And the only thing that the Saints' offense could muster in the first half of this game was basically that early field goal. And it just looked ugly. And it looked inconsistent, and it looked lethargic, and it just looked like, you know what, the Saints are not going to be able to pull this one off. And then in the second half, as Taysom Hill settled down, he started to move the football. Now, I thought that he got better throwing the football slightly, marginally. I thought the big deal was running the football was where he was making big plays. And that's the part that I just don't know about. If Taysom Hill can keep this thing going over the course of, let's say, 3, 4, 5 weeks, because running the football was where he created two touchdowns, that 25-yard scamper that ultimately led to the fumble that he lost. But those were big plays. I thought throwing the football was a little bit less effective. By the third quarter or so, it seemed like Taysom Hill had started to settle down, but I wonder, with more defensive schemes thrown out there and defensive coordinators seeing what his tendencies are, now having a full game of film on him, I wonder about Taysom's legitimacy of throwing this football. But the Saints will take wins, okay? And that's the most important part right now. And the Saints right now have ripped off 7 consecutive victories. And when you look at the rest of their schedule, there's imminently winnable games. They've got the Broncos, the Falcons again, and the Eagles. They've got the Vikings and Panthers to wrap up. The Saints have one game that's really scary, and that's home to the Chiefs on December the 20th. But if you're asking Taysom Hill to get them to the Chiefs game and be 4-0 under him, that's doable. Broncos, Falcons, Eagles, that's doable. So I thought that Taysom Hill ultimately got the win. I thought by the end of the game, he started to look far more comfortable and effective. I thought running the football is where he's really going to create problems for the opposing defense. But more importantly, you have to get wins here. And the Saints have to try to remain in that one slot for the NFC playoffs, because we know what home field advantage playing in the dome and with a bye does for the Saints. I know there's no crowd, but it's still the Superdome, home cooking, fast track, indoors, and a week off to start the playoffs. It is huge for the Saints to get that instead of going on the road wild card weekend, divisional round, and the NFC Championship game. It's a good step forward for Taysom Hill. Certainly not a finished product, but the Saints will take it. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. I thought the other part of this was that the Saints defense started to really collapse the pocket around Matt Ryan, make his life a living hell. And for the Falcons as well, I mean, they were limited offensively the entire day. They held the Falcons to just 9 points on 3 field goals yesterday. So if you're looking for a bigger MVP on the Saints maybe than even Taysom Hill, it was the Saints defense making the Falcons' life a living hell all afternoon long. Mraz, we finally got to see Taysom Hill. You finally got to see Taysom Hill over the course of a full game. Do you have faith that he can run this Saints offense now?
I do. I think he progressed better in the second half, as you pointed out, and obviously the run game is just part of it. He's never going to be a complete total pocket passer, but he obviously can throw the deep ball, and if he gets running like he did in the second half, and Alvin Kamara creates a little bit of that balance too, I have no worries that Taysom Hill is going to be able to figure this out, especially because, as you just pointed out, the one thing the Saints have going for him this year, like they did last year when Teddy Bridgewater took over, that they didn't have early in Drew Brees' career, is a defense that flat out gets after it, a defense that can be a strength for them week in and week out if they rise to the occasion, led by Cam Jordan in the pass rush. So I think the Saints are going to navigate this to the Chiefs game just fine, and I think if you're a Tampa Bay Buck fan, watching the Saints just all over the Falcons and Matt Ryan yesterday, that had to have been the big letdown moment for you, thinking, even with Drew Brees out, this may not be enough to get us to this division title.
Kamara only ran for 45 yards and didn't catch a pass. The first time in Kamara's career, he did not catch a pass. So it was an important step that the Saints proved that they could win without Kamara being a huge part of the offense. Now, look, the Falcons season is lost. The Falcons are dead in the water. So it's not necessarily a good indicator against a playoff-caliber team. But the thing is, the Saints don't play playoff-caliber teams the rest of the way besides that Chiefs game. So that's a big deal.
And Kamara was effective once they got inside the red zone. I think what happened was the Falcons just keyed in and would say, you could beat us with your arm, beat us with your own legs. You're not beating us at Alvin Kamara as soon as we get down the field. But the moment they were in the red zone, Alvin Kamara, that was where he had the bulk of his damage and had that big touchdown run as well. So, yeah, I think that that's all on the table here, that the Saints prove they can win in a variety of different ways, and that's an enormous step for them. And to be honest, look, yesterday you didn't have Jameis Winston throwing picks and throwing them out of that game, and I think that's more important than anything, is just to manage it.
First half, though, boy, it looked like that Sean Payton made a mistake. That first half was
ugly
for Taysom Hill. They could not do anything. They mustered only that field goal, and you're thinking, what did Sean Payton see in Taysom Hill, and why does he keep sticking with him? But it paid dividends in the second half. When we come back here on the show, NFL week number 11, we continue to break it down. We'll hear from a former XFL star getting a shutout win yesterday, and from the college ranks on Saturday, Ohio State outlasted Indiana. we'll hear Ryan Day, head coach of the Buckeyes, on his quarterback's play. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Welcome back on a Monday morning, man. It's also a day to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS. You could use the hashtag AskThePros. And be listening later on. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. One note on that Taysom Hill open that we were discussing. Taysom Hill, Drew Brees. Brees has 11 cracked ribs. A human being, including Drew Brees, as superhuman as he sometimes seems, has 24 ribs, 12 on each side. So he's got 11 of the 24 cracked. The Saints did put him on IR on Friday, meaning he is forced to miss a minimum of 3 games. So Taysom Hill and or Jameis Winston have the next 2 starts at minimum before Brees can come back and activated for week number 14. On to the best audio of the day. We begin with Ryan Day, Ohio State head coach, after the Buckeyes survive a scare from Indiana on Saturday, and his starting quarterback Justin Fields threw 3 interceptions in the win.
Overall, I thought he played really gutsy. He made some big-time throws, and they were blitzing. We knew they were going to. They're blitzing every snap. I mean, literally every snap. So there was going to be negative plays. There was going to be some big plays, and that's kind of how it played out. And you know, we did have 607 yards of total offense.
28-7 at the half. 28-7 at the half for the Buckeyes. And it looked like they would run away with it. They scored as well early in the third quarter. It was 35-7. Now remember, Vegas put this line at 20.5. So by the time we got to the third quarter and the Buckeyes are leading 35-7, it was a rout. The blowout was on. Buckeyes were going to race away with this. And it seemed like, right, the Hoosiers were good against bad teams in the Big Ten. But once they met their match, one of the best teams in college football, they would get exposed. They were getting exposed. This is what it was going to be, 35-7. And then, dadgummit, as they say, that Hoosiers team kept fighting, kept battling, would not go away. They forced Justin Fields into 3 interceptions. And in the third and fourth quarter, the amount of open space that Indiana's quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., was able to find was startling. And while Ohio State held on for the 42-35 victory, Ohio State had to stave off the Hoosiers in the final 10 minutes of that game because Indiana had brought them to within 7 with 10 minutes to play in the game. There was multiple chances for Indiana to tie things up. Justin Fields didn't have a great day, that's for sure. I thought, though, the more startling part of this was Ohio State's defense allowed Penix to just scorch them. In the second half, Penix threw for nearly 500 yards of this game. He threw for 491 and 5 touchdowns. And when you were watching it, almost all of them came in the big play variety. I mean, there were big plays to be had for everybody. Freifogel had a 63-yarder. Miles Marshall had a 68-yarder. David Ellis had a 51-yarder. They were just running free and also making really good catches against some coverage as well. But beyond Justin Fields, he's had a phenomenal season. I'm thinking, boy, what does Alabama with Mac Jones look like against Ohio State's defense in a playoff game? What does Trevor Lawrence with Clemson's attack look like in a playoff game? Because Ohio State's secondary got absolutely manhandled by Penix and the Hoosiers. Good fight shown by the Hoosiers, just not enough as Ohio State remains undefeated. Washington quarterback Alex Smith has been playing now for the last couple of weeks and starting after his unbelievably startling injury and nearly losing his leg, nearly losing his life. One of the most difficult injuries for any NFL player ever to have come back from, nearly amputation. But yesterday, Washington actually got the win over the Bengals. Here was Alex Smith.
You know, it's one thing to obviously come out and even to get that first playing time and whole another deal, obviously, to play winning football as a starter and felt like we had one last week get away from us. So amazing to get a win.
Look, it's a great story. Alex Smith didn't have to do a ton yesterday, 166 yards, a touchdown, an INT. But Washington did enough, put up 20 points, 20-9 victors over Cincinnati. So great story for Alex Smith. The guy's got the heart of a lion to come all the way back from this, to still start. Great job. Number one, man, if you're Dwayne Haskins, you got to be like, what the hell? And this is on Dwayne Haskins, okay, by the way. I'm not shifting responsibility. This is on Dwayne Haskins. But the fact that Ron Rivera would prefer to have Alex Smith throw for 160 yards and manage a game to win instead of having Dwayne Haskins in there tells you all you need to do know about Dwayne Haskins. They don't trust his work ethic. They don't trust his focus on the offense, on the scheme, on the huddle, on anything. And that's why Haskins ain't playing. They trust Alex Smith, even if Smith is wildly limited in what he can do. Number two, you know, yesterday's game is really defined by Joe Burrow. I mean, Joe Burrow's injury is the storyline out of yesterday's game. Unbelievably, Washington has a chance of this division. We'll talk about this coming up here after the break. We'll talk about the reprehensible NFC East and that every team is now still alive. But yesterday, the game is really about, unfortunately, the injury to Joe Burrow and less about Alex Smith. But no question, it's a great story and a great story of perseverance for Alex Smith even to be out there and gets a win yesterday over the Bengals. And finally, here's P.J. Walker. You might remember P.J. Walker, Texas Ranger, from his XFL days back in the spring. He was a roughneck, and yesterday, because of Teddy Bridgewater's injury, he got the start for the Carolina Panthers under Matt Rhule. And Carolina gets the 20-0 shutout victory over the hapless Detroit Lions. Here's Walker.
It's crazy because I didn't actually envision this start. My mom did about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. She called me and she was like, man, I had a dream that you was playing with the Panthers. And I was with the Colts still at the time. And I had a dream he was playing for the Panthers. And I'm like, really? That's weird. You know, just me being in Indianapolis at the moment. And life just come full circle, man. And her dream came true. Mine's did too today.
Wow, that's pretty wild. Imagine having the specific dream a year and a half ago that your son is going to play for the Carolina Panthers and win a game for the Carolina Panthers. That's pretty crazy. That's also a really cool story for all of us that are big spring football honks, whether it's the Alliance or the XFL. We all had a rooting interest in P.J. Walker getting it done yesterday, and he did against Matt Patricia, who has to be the worst defensive mind defensive coach ever. Am I right? I mean, Matt Patricia has to be the biggest bozo going, considering he's a defensive coordinator / coach, but his defense really stinks. But then again, his offense does as well, so who am I to judge? And that is your sound check. Mraz, I know you had a rooting interest in P.J. Walker yesterday. I know you have a soft spot for all those spring football guys.
Right. Even if I was AAF over XFL, the idea that spring guys can succeed, anytime Logan Whiteside comes into a game, Garrett Gilbert comes into a game, Greg Ward with the Eagles playing wide receiver, I sit
Young
at the edge
of my chair. Koo, right?
Young Wei Koo. Koo, are you?
Koo, koo, koo,
koo, koo, koo, koo. Spring football is littered all over the NFL, proving once again there's plenty of quality players in it. And watching P.J. Walker just torch Matt Patricia's defense, I know it was only 20-0, but still, it felt like a torching when the Lions were doing nothing offensively themselves. Put a smile to my face. These guys belong. And I've now seen him and Garrett Gilbert show that they belong on an NFL field, where the biggest problem with spring football is, oh, who's going to play quarterback? We got two guys now who show they can step on an NFL field and compete.
When the XFL shuttered its doors back in the spring, the Houston Roughnecks were in first place in the legendary XFL West. They were 5-0. 5-0. Tough division. That was a PJ Walker 5-0 team for the Roughnecks. Do you want to play a little spin the wheel of XFL?
Sure. Step on down.
XFL West, Roughnecks were 5-0. In second place, 2-3 Dallas. What was their nickname?
The Renegades?
Correct. Okay. Tied for second place at 2-3 was Los Angeles. Do you remember LA's nickname?
The Avengers.
Want to take another guess?
Oh, it was not the Avengers. I don't know.
The Wildcats.
That's right, okay.
LA Wildcats. And then in last place at 1-4 when the XFL stopped play in the XFL West was Seattle. Care to wager?
The Dragons.
Correct. And then the XFL East, which we always knew was much more about, you know, having a bunch of teams grouped together, a very parity-stricken division. We've always said that about the XFL East.
Correct.
They were led. There were three teams tied for first at 3-2. Number one was D.C. Care to wager what their nickname was?
The Defenders, led by Pep Hamilton.
That is correct. In second place, St. Louis. They were?
The Battle Hawks.
That's right. Number three, your hometown, New York.
Guardians.
Yes. And number four, the Tampa Bay.
Oh, this one's a tough one. Because they had the stupid lime green uniforms. They had Aaron Murray. I'm going to say, oh, wait, they're a snake team. They're a snake team. Not the Rattlers. They're the Vipers.
Yeah! Well done.
Yes, I knew it was a snake.
7 out of 8 XFL teams. You got them all except the LA Wildcats, and you had to scrounge late to find the Vipers, but you're right. They were the Vipers.
Yes, yes. I'm the man.
That's got to be as good as you felt in a long time taking a test.
It absolutely. Look, and that's one of those situations. I know I'm never going to get 100 on a test. And that was the story of my life right there. Dig deep and think about little memory things. Like you write on an index card. I got lime green and snakes that led me to the Vipers. This is the way I take tests.
As Nancy Mraz said so eloquently many, many years ago, a C gets a degree.
And that is
right
it.
There. That you is got it. A better than a C.
That's right.
The XFL pop quiz. Wouldn't you love if you just walked into college one day and that was your pop quiz?
Oh, imagine instead of some of these dumb math classes I had to take, if they were like spring football 101, and that was 3 credits right there. Oh, forget about it. From the USFL to the Alliance to the XFL to Arena League, I'd have a ball. Now you want to talk about A's. A's would get you a degree.
Please write an essay on Tommy Maddox's efforts in the first ever XFL Bowl.
Oh, it'd be great. Schwartz could speak to the class. It'd be a whole thing.
Standing by with our headlines is a kind sir. His name is Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogues, saw you on social media over the weekend. Looks like you had a big weekend, you and the fam. Did some cool stuff.
Mrs. had another birthday this weekend, so got out and about. Beautiful weather on Saturday. Walked in the beach near Pete's house. Once again, Pete would not come see me in person. That's 0-2 now, being in Pete's neighborhood and turned down for a visit. But other than that, it was a really, really nice weekend.
What did Pete use as his reasoning behind not being able to connect with you?
He was looking for a house. So, I mean, maybe that's real. Boy. Maybe that's the easy way out. I don't know.
We've heard of that before. He's out today, so we can't ask him directly about this. But, boy, so you're 0-2 going to his neighborhood. He wants nothing to do with
you. Nope, that did not happen. So let's go back and take a look at that.
I actually thought for a sec, wait a minute, is Pete actually here?
Yeah, me too. That was a perfect drop by Connor. So you're 0-2 going to Pete's neighborhood, huh?
Yeah, 0-2. One was the beginning of the fall, end of summer, and they were at the in-laws' house. And then this Saturday morning, and again, with all due respect, last minute decision by us to go near Pete's house. So it makes perfect sense that Pete was not home, but he was not home again. So you guys have your romantic pumpkin beer drinking stories, and I've got just looking at the outside of Pete's building and never actually meeting Pete's kid yet.
I just don't like him.
I came out for you when you came to my neighborhood. Remember that?
That's true. You did.
Well, also, Mraz dressed up as the Easter Bunny for your kids.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were like a side effect. You were going somewhere else as the Easter Bunny realized that we were near you, and you swung by, which is nice, but it wasn't just for us.
But it still counts. I was in the neighborhood, and I was home. What we're learning here is I'm there for everybody. Pete is not. That's what we're learning.
Pete is not.
What?
I like how Bogues phrased it as going near Pete's house. Like there's an electric fence around his house. There's a moat that he dug around the complex that we couldn't get close to it. We could only get so close because Pete has security on us. You can only go so close.
If he could have those things, you know he would as well. That's the problem. He's looking for a house with a moat on Long Island. Very limited availability.
Sorry, Pete. Mr. Limited. There's only one moat. It's a $7 million mansion in East Hampton. Yeah.
So. And by the way, what we're learning from these Drops Cotter's plan is that Pete really never has to come to work, and we can just think he's there. He's a soundboard.
Hey, watch it, Mraz. We've done the same bit with you, okay? You've been out. We played 10 drops, and it didn't sound like it's anything different.
The Capuettos and the – I forgot the other team, the Marietas.
That's the two coaching staffs in the XFL West. So Bogues has our headlines this morning. Mr. Bogues, where do we begin?
These ones are sponsored by Geico. Do you rent your home, Pete? Sure you do. Geico makes it easy to bundle renters and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. By my unofficial count, there were 7 lead changes in Vegas on Sunday Night Football. The Chiefs, not surprisingly, got the last one.
Raiders rush 4. Mahomes retreats. Steps up into the pocket. He throws it late for the end zone. Kelce wide open. Touchdown, Kansas City. Why not? Mahomes to Kelce again to take the lead on a 22-yard touchdown pass with 28 seconds to go in regulation.
Mitch Holtis on Chiefs Radio. The 22-yard connection, as he said, came with 28 seconds left after Raider tight end Jason Witten caught a go-ahead score with 1:43 to play. The Chiefs won 35-31 when they picked off Derek Carr near midfield. So KC's 9-1 leads Vegas by 3 games now atop the AFC West.
And also, I don't want to hear how angry Andy Reid and the Chiefs were that the Raiders did laps around the freaking stadium the last time they beat him. Sorensen picks off that pass with 28 seconds left and takes a knee. Can you run it into the end zone and run up the score there and taunt the Raiders on the way out? Also had the Chiefs laying 6.5, as you could tell.
I could tell. That's the only.
That. Yeah.
I went 0-3 and up the gut. I'm looking for one win to get me out of there.
Wow, you went 0-3?
Yeah, and Super Dave went 0-3 too, so we didn't exactly make a lot of money this Friday. But that was my shot to get another win. I'm sitting there screaming going, I thought you guys hated the Raiders. Get in the end zone.
I mean, Mahomes is just so ridiculous. You're just kind of waiting for him lying in the weeds to do what he just did there. But when the game was on the line, fourth quarter, a minute to go, you're like, he's going to go down the field right now and score this touchdown.
Yep.
And exactly he did. And when he had to throw to Kelce in the end zone for the game-winning touchdown, you knew he was going to find him. I mean, he had a couple of ridiculous throws. The one where he's supposed to roll right yesterday, he gets the pass rush coming to him from his right, so he just backtracked and rolls left and instead throws totally against his body, totally against his momentum, and throws it downfield for a big gain. You're like, how are you ever supposed to defend him? It's impossible. I don't know. I hope we get Chiefs-Steelers with all due respect to the rest of the AFC, because Chiefs-Steelers AFC title game with the Steelers defense trying to lock down Patrick Mahomes would be one of the great matchups in recent playoff history.
Next week's going to be a blast with the Bucs defense playing Mahomes. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Those Steelers are still perfect despite a trip to Jacksonville. A 27-3 escape gets them to 10-0. For the Jags, it's loss number 100 under owner Shad Khan. He is the second fastest to that ugly milestone, just 141 games.
Love that stat. So if CBS is mandated to run the Robert Kraft family record every time that they show him in the booth, every time that we show Shad Khan in the booth, we should have that graphic. Fastest to 100 losses by an NFL owner.
Second fastest by just one game, but second fastest to 100 losses.
Oh, who was first fastest?
I believe the original owner of the Buccaneers, the guy who was there for
Hugh Culverhouse?
Their winless season. Yes.
Oh, nice. That's a great record.
Jeez. <That's> great.
The Titans took down the Ravens yesterday, 30-24 in overtime in Baltimore. Derrick Henry, a game-ending 29-yard run. The Ravens have dropped 3 of 4 now, heading towards Thanksgiving night against those Steelers. The Colts won a thriller from the Packers, 34-31 in OT. Green Bay led by 14 at halftime. The Pats came up short at Houston, 27-20. And the Eagles took an ugly 22-17 loss in Cleveland. Carson Wentz sacked five more times. One of them was a safety. He tossed a pick six. So Doug Peterson was asked post-game if he considered benching his QB.
If you get to that spot, whether you don't start him or you bench, I think you're sending a wrong message to your football team that the season's over, and that's a bad message.
Because technically the season is not over, because at 3-6-1 they are still in first in the NFC East.
I want to really tackle this NFC East thing coming up after the break, because that rationale by Doug Peterson also sounds remarkably backwards. If you make a change away from Carson Wentz, wouldn't it suggest that you believe the season's still alive? That's why you're making a change?
Or does it mean, is that a value judgment on Jalen Hurts, that Jalen Hurts is not good enough right now to come in and fix things, that if you go to him, you're now in experiment mode to see what he is moving
forward?
Maybe
that's true, but I don't see how it could be worse than Carson Wentz. Even if Jalen Hurts can't throw a football for forward pass right now, it's better than Carson Wentz. Wentz is so unbelievably bad. This is like Mike Glenn and Mitch Trubisky bad. Like, he does not belong in the field right now.
Let's jump to the NBA. The Lakers are adding Marc Gasol on a 2-year deal, reportedly worth the veteran's minimum. This one has a bazillion intricate salary cap ramifications. LA has to make a separate trade to make this work. That trade is JaVale McGee going to the Cavs for Jordan Bell and Alphonso McKinney, again, to make room to get Gasol in on this 2-year deal. College football is already busy changing this week's schedule because of COVID. No Apple Cup because Washington State doesn't have enough healthy players. Washington trying to play BYU instead, but they have yet to sign off on that game. The Arizona State-Utah game moves from Saturday to Sunday as the Sun Devils finish recovering from their COVID battle. They did not play the last two weekends. And Fresno State-San Diego State is canceled. College hoops, Baylor coach Scott Drew has tested positive. He will not coach his Bears in this week's tourney at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. And the MLS playoffs continue to be insane. FC Dallas upset Portland last night, 8-7 on penalty kicks. Top-seeded Sporting KC needed PKs to avoid an upset from San Jose. Minnesota United, a routine 3-0 win over Colorado. DA, back to you.
And at some point, we need to carve out time this morning to laugh at the Charlotte Hornets for giving Gordon Hayward $120 million. $120 million for Gordon Hayward, who has missed 111 games over the last three seasons. That's $1 million plus for every game missed over the last three seasons for Gordon Hayward, all guaranteed. Daddy's always happy. The moment that came down on my news feed, I'm just saying to myself, Daddy's always happy. Yeah, I would be too. $120 million for being an injury-plagued, mediocre player right now. But when we come back, the NFC East, I can't believe I'm saying this, but are the Cowboys going to win this division? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's going to be a good day with DA.
They've got two cracks to get it in. Lamb in motion from right to left. Dalton in the pistol, Elliott behind him, Lamb in motion right, play fake, looking in the middle of the end zone, to Schultz, touchdown! With a minute 37 left, Dalton to Schultz, and the Cowboys have regained the lead.
Great play call by Kellen. Now our guys, at that point it just comes down to execution, and that's exactly what we did. Great play design and got Dalton wide open in the end zone.
The Dallas Cowboys get a victory. That was Brad Sham on Cowboys Radio with the call. Thanks for being with us this morning here on the DA Show. Happy Monday to you. Doing more, sponsored by the Home Depot. The holiday season, the Home Depot improves Black Friday. Instead of one day, the Home Depot lowers prices now. They'll stay low through December. the best prices of the year already at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Patrick Mahomes, 348 yards, two touchdowns through the air, led Kansas City in a seven-play, 75-yard drive to win the game with less than 2 minutes to play, giving the Chiefs a 35-31 win over the Raiders. Mahomes and company now 9-1. Now our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work. Geico.com. I hesitate to spend too much time on the NFC East because they are so awful, because it's so disgusting, but it's also fascinating. It is also fascinating because there is a real chance that a 5 or 6 win team can win this division. They are all flawed, and somebody's going to host a playoff game out of this. On the phones is DC, I should say JC, who's in DC, Washington, DC, on the phones. JC, good morning. What's going on?
Good morning, DA. It feels good to finally reach Santa Claus, if you get my joke from Friday. So I'm just a little upset about how some people in the media have been talking about the how they think Carson is the main problem for the Eagles' problems. And I think it's beyond that. So what historically has been the problem for the Cowboys? It's Jerry Jones, right?
Right.
So that's what I'm starting to see taking shape in Philadelphia right now. I think that a lot of them got big-headed in that office since they won the Super Bowl. You have a GM who doesn't know how to draft. And he's also admitted that he signed guys and gave them extensions based on heart instead of brain, a.k.a. Alshon Jeffrey. And I think that is just crumbling this team. They do not have the cap space. They only have one player left from the entire 2017 draft. Think about that. And they have a 40-year-old left tackle. You got running backs coming in and out, receivers coming in and out. And I also think that you have two coaches that are trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. Doug Peterson is trying to make Carson Wentz into Alex Smith, and that's not who he is. He needs to be running an offense like Russell Wilson in Seattle. And Andy Reid has changed his offense based on his quarterback's ability. Why hasn't Doug Peterson done it? And also, Nick Foles, in his book, stated that Frank Reich changed the offense that fit him. They went back in the Chip Kelly tapes to see what fit him best. And I just think that I don't know why Doug Peterson doesn't see it, but he is just not running an offense that fits his quarterback. And then
I think
also,
that's all fair points, JC. Let me let you go because I'm up against this break at the end of the hour here, man. But you make a lot of good points. I think one thing that has become very obvious is that they all got big heads after that Super Bowl. 2017 was the best thing that could have happened to the Eagles franchise and the worst. Obviously, delivering a championship to that city, to that fan base, is historic and will forever be historic. And it's going to be that team. Everybody will always talk about the 2017 Eagles. Remember the 2017 Eagles. The 2017 Eagles will come back every 10 years. They'll get older. They'll get fatter. They will always be saluted at Lincoln Financial Field. They are forever going to be remembered as one of the most beloved teams in Philadelphia sports history, undoubtedly. However, Doug Peterson has rested on his laurels since then. The front office has rested on its laurels. That roster has as well. What you bring up is very important here. The Eagles continually hold on to all of the guys that won that Super Bowl in 2017, even if they're not effective anymore. And the drafts have been really problematic. And I want to delve into this NFC East here next, because I went through the rest of the schedule for all four teams, and I have declared a winner in the division.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.